All right, let's continue our teaching inspired by Isaac. When I began this, my initial plan was to take the life of the man Isaac and study it. But I have gotten stuck on talking about his name and where he came from. That is the fact, the matter of the promise of God. I have not been able to leave that one since, and I believe that's how the Holy Spirit wants it. And I'm going to continue speaking about that promise matter again. Last two times, I talked about the fact that life has stages, and that in the second stage, that is, we are looking at it in two stages now. And the first stage of life, you actually are qualifying yourself for the next stage of life. That grace is when you qualify for it. Grace is not just unmerited, as in that anybody can receive grace. Potentially, yes, but the person that wants to receive grace must do what is necessary, not to pay for grace, but to be able to receive the grace. For example, you must show a sense of value for it. And I'm going to talk about that again today. You must show that it is valuable to you. Do you understand? If you are going out and you are depending on what you have done, you are saying in effect that grace is not valuable to you. So that's what I mean by one of the things you do by when I'm talking about qualifying for grace. It is not as if you can pay for it. No. It's just that you must show that it's valuable to you. That, you know, this thing is important. And I said that is the difference, or that was the difference between Jacob and Esau. Esau was harder working, all right, than Jacob, actually, if you look at it. He was a better person to relate with, all right, in the early stages of their lives until God finished teaching them the lessons of life. Esau would have been a better person to relate with. He was more predictable. But he had one thing that was seriously lacking in his life, and that was a sense of value for the grace of God, the sense of value for the promise of God that was running in his lineage. He didn't have that. For that reason, he was willing to sell his birthright for a morsel of meat, because he was hungry. Just for one single meal, he was ready to let that thing pass. And that's simply a reflection of the fact that he did not value it. So we're talking about qualifying for grace. That's one of the things. You must value it. That's what I'm going to explain. So we said that in that second stage of life, when you will have qualified for the manifestation of divine destiny in your first stage, then God can now release things into your life. And that what God is doing in your life is just to fulfill the promises that he made concerning you. God wants to bring to birth the reason why he gave you life. All right? He wants to bring it to birth by his own power. What you are doing in your life as a young man, in the early stage of your life as a young woman, is saying to God, manifest your power. We're preaching here on Tuesday, the school of prayer. And we said that prayer is not like trying to beg God to do something. It's more like allowing God to do that which he really wants to do. Because on this earth, he has given you and me the power, the authority. All right? We are the ones in control. So when we are praying, what we are simply doing is saying to God, that which you would like to do, if you were the one in charge on the earth, then we are giving you the power and the authority to do it. Then God moves in with his power, and he does the things he wants to do because we gave him the authority. So the period of prayer, what we are doing is that we are uttering, we are releasing our authority to God, that we say, come, do what you want to do. And that's how it is also, something like that, talking about qualifying for grace. In the first stage of your life, you are allowing God to come into the latter stages of your life by qualifying for what he really wants to do. So he said in that Luke chapter 19, we studied it, occupy with this until I come. Give each person an amount of money. That money was not what he was after, but he wanted to see how serious they were as individuals. He wanted to know whether, and that's why he said that if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another person, who will give you your own? What he was saying is that, you see, it's why you are handling something that belongs to somebody else. We determine whether you are capable of handling anything at all. You understand my point? So that's just the principle. It's about qualifying for things. That's what it is. So last time I now began to explain again, that the last meeting, that what God is doing in that first stage again is to rearrange you, all right? He's trying to convert you. I said something then, if I send a tweet out on it, that you see, if you're all your life you have been encouraged, no matter how encouraged you are, if you are not corrected, you will never see breakthrough. Because what's happening is that what is hindering the release of God's power into your life is inside you. It's not in your neighbor. If you want to see a man that's not going to go far in life, you want to see a woman that's not going to go very far, talk to the person. He's always blaming other people for what is happening to him or her right now. There's this man I know, right? every time you talk to him about, he had issues, all right, in life and all of that. So one day, my wife and I prepared that let's help him out, all right? So I went to see him. And I sat down, greeted him, how are you doing, long time and all of that. Before the Jesus, okay, I now go down to the issue that was on ground. How are things and everything? He said, he mentioned one of his nieces. What did I call it? Niece. You know what a niece is? It's the opposite, that he will be an uncle to that woman. You understand? I said, that one, I'm counting her sins for her. She said she will help me the other time till now. Then count another person. After counting a few, I got angry. Say, me that have left everything I had to do to come and settle with you and see what we can do. You have not even counted me. So if I wasn't here, I know how you'd be counting me behind my back. They're like, what is going on here? You're pointing at everybody for your problems in life currently, forgetting one crucial factor, that you're older than all these people by far. Tony Parker, I told a story once. He said, he has a brother, I think a half brother, all right? And when his half brother's father died, his own father also died because it was the same man. I don't know whether you got that. They're born of different mothers, but the same father. So one day, their father died, and he was young. Everybody was young. But let's make a long story short. The way life turned out for him, God still blessed him. You understand? That's the summary of it. Once in a while, that fellow will come to him to ask for help. Maybe children's school fees and stuff like that. And he was always willing to give. There's only one problem. The man always told the story every time he will come. That it's just because my father died. If my father had not died, he said he'll be keeping quiet looking at the man. The man will leave. Next time he'll come, please, so these are the issues in the house and all of that. He will need some money and all of that. That if only his father didn't die, things would not have been like this. So he said, after he said that in long enough, Tunde Bakare said, they couldn't take it anymore. He shouted back at this senior brother of his. He said, was that your father? Not my father also. That is the reason why things are like this with you. It's not because of your dead father. Because if that was the issue, I should have the same problem. And that's the problem in life. Oftentimes, what people are doing is just pointing at other people for the reason why they are where they are right now. And I said it then that it is very wrong. You know, I was discussing with a friend of mine the other day. And you see, people are always explaining adult behavior by upbringing. That's bad behavior of adults. Listen, I don't believe a word of it. You know what I said? Go and read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. I discuss it in there. The reason why you are bad is not because you were badly brought up. Because, listen, God always gives each person a chance to turn his or her life around. You are following what I'm saying? Don't let anybody, because then, in fact, I was having a meeting with some friends and we were talking about things. And they say, this is why he behaves like this. His father was like that. His father was like that. I said, look, listen, forget all of these things. You think all these same people in life, they all have same fathers? I read Ed Cole those days. Ed Cole would describe how to release yourself from the negative influence of an alcoholic father, as an example. Now, you see, God always allows each person an opportunity to change the way things were. I know people come from different backgrounds. All right? But God always, please, I can't discuss that in details now. Go and read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. That's what I explained there. If you had a very horrible background, if you look along the line, there was a time God gave you a friend that had a different mindset, a different method of doing things. The only thing is that you see, along the line, those who don't change, there will be a reason why they will not go after that fellow as a friend. He's too demanding. Maybe they like to come back home at 10 p.m. every day or at 1 a.m. And the fellow said, no, I'm sorry, I don't stay out late at night. And God is long-suffering. I say all the time, he's not ever suffering. After a while, he gives up on people. Forget that fellow. He doesn't want to change. Then later on in life, if you go to countries where things really behave funny, you know what I'm saying? A man will just wake up one day and start killing everybody. Once it happened, it was yesterday. Just carried a gun, entered an airport in Los Angeles, I shoot it. If you ask him now, he say he was abused as a child. You know that kind of thing? It's not because anybody was abused as a child. It's because when God gave the opportunity for change, they rejected it. When it came to Jesus Christ, that was the issue. Men love darkness. So that was all. When they loved darkness. Jesus was the opportunity for change, but they loved darkness. What am I saying? Let me not get carried away by that. So we said that in that first season of life, what God is doing is changing people. Changing us. Everybody comes from different aspects, different backgrounds. There are different things that have happened to people in their lives. And many of those things are the reason the people will not inherit their inheritance. Let me use that expression. That's why they will not receive their inheritance. So God said, for the first few years of your life, I'm going to take you through many experiences so as to change what you are right now so that you can become what is able to receive that inheritance. And that's the story of Jacob's life. That was the story of Jacob's life. Other one of going to Laban's house, another, it was to teach him things that Abraham learned. It was to teach him things that Isaac already knew that he had not gotten the point. I was reading Oswald Chambers many years ago, and he was talking about sufferings, you know, talking about people suffering and all of that. He said the sufferings of Jacob, were they necessary for him to receive that inheritance? He said the inheritance was not tied to the suffering, but it was necessary for Jacob to suffer so that he would be able to receive the inheritance. That was why Isaac did not suffer like that. The inheritance was not tied to the suffering. But Jacob had to be changed. Jacob had to be transformed to the place where he would be able to receive the inheritance. Let's not talk about Jacob now. You and me, today, we need to be changed. This is the process of breakthrough. Everything you're experiencing in life, God is just using you to correct your mindset. Every mindset you have attracts something. You hear what I said? Yes, every attitude in you attracts something. There's an attitude that attracts a short life. There's an attitude that attracts a long life. There are attitudes that attract poverty. You know, I did a series on it on radio some time ago. 7 attitudes that result in failure. Go and get it. It's available on our website, free download. 7 attitudes that result in failure, and that the wise will be careful to avoid them. There are attitudes. So what God does is, listen, this fellow, I want to bless him, I want to bless her. So what do we do? As he is right now, he can't receive it. So let's correct him. Let's correct him. The man looks for work for 1 whole year, 2 years, 3 years. People said, there are no jobs in Nigeria. God said, look, there are enough jobs. If you're a child, listen, I always like to put this thing in. I'm not preaching to Muslims. I hope you don't understand that. I'm not preaching to those who don't believe in God. I'm preaching to who? Who am I preaching to? I didn't hear you.
Christians.
I'm preaching to Christians, believers. And the fact about believers is that their lives are different. Something happened to somebody beside them may appear identical, but what God is doing is very, very different. Are you getting my point? So if you get to a place and they say, there are no jobs, that is not the reason why a Christian doesn't have one. His or her reason is always different, always different. The unbeliever beside him, I don't have anything to say to that fellow. All I have to say to you is repent and be baptized. Give your life to Christ. Receive forgiveness for your sins. That's what I can tell that fellow. But I'm talking to the Christian. His or her life, the reasons are always with God, and it can never be an environmental reason. Did you hear what I said? It can never be an environmental reason. You know something about environmental reason? Why is there no food? It's because there's famine. Not for the one working with God. There may be famine, quite all right. But the reason why he doesn't have food is not tied to the famine. It's not tied to the famine. There can be, you know, lack of jobs, like we are saying. So that's why brethren for the last 5 years have not been able to get employment. God said, never. That cannot be. If I wanted to give them employment, I will send it. The reason why they don't have it is because there is something inside them that is not yet able to receive it. I have it for them anytime. That's why, you know, I say to you all the time, I don't read all these nonsense statistics. Understand? In Nigeria, what do you call it? Life expectancy is this. Listen, life expectancy in Nigeria is not my problem. Are you getting my point? It's not. I'm not a statistic. You get my point. I'm not an average person, so that what happens normally is likely to happen to me. If I died, the time I would die is determined by a number of factors. The most important one of them is whether I fulfilled the purpose of God for my life. John the Baptist died at the time he died because that was the time for him to die. And Jesus Christ followed him a few years later. It wasn't because life expectancy in that area was Romans are always killing people. Because if you look at it, both of them died very strangely. You know, strangely. One fellow was beheaded, the other one was beaten and nailed to the cross. And I said, you see, it was a violent season. When you watch National Geographic, they tell you it was a violent time. The violence in the air was plenty. So people used to die at the age of 30, 33. Why? Because the Romans were in power and they had a stupid man as a king. So that was why John the Baptist died. Listen to me, that was not why John the Baptist died. John the Baptist died because he said, I must decrease, he must increase. And we have read the scriptures enough to know that Jesus refused to preach publicly until John the Baptist was taken into custody. Those ministries were not meant to run side by side. So we understand the death of John the Baptist. And the death of Jesus Christ, you and I were the cause now. It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the Romans. He told them ahead of time because people were going to confuse it. He had to tell the disciples, listen, a time is coming. I will be beaten, I will be battered, and I will be nailed to the cross. Peter said, no, such things should not happen. He said, forget, you don't understand what I said. The counsel of God. Father, should I say, deliver me from this hour? For this cause, I came to this hour. He came so he might reach that hour. So when that hour came, he died. Listen, Ebola virus is not the cause of the death of a child of God. Are you getting my point? No matter how plenty the plague is, children of God don't die because of the plague. It may be an instrument. Saul died, the Bible says, because of the trespass he committed against the Lord. That was why he died. Even though we know that the man died because of a tactical error in battle. We know. But the Bible says, no, that was not why Saul died. Saul died because of the trespass he committed against the Lord. That was why he died. You are getting the point I'm making. So you see, your blessing is not dependent upon the environment. It's not. Let me read the first scripture I wanted for us today. Let's pick up from there. Quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3. In fact, a number of them I'll read. Okay, let's read the one that we have been using all the while. Genesis chapter 21. But if you're already in 2 Peter, just open it and put a finger there. Genesis chapter 21. Before you read that 21, maybe we should quickly look at something. Just to remind us of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Or before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. That will be in Genesis chapter 18, thereabout. Now, please, notice verse... Well, quickly, let's just get to the main one I want to read so as to save time. If we see in verse 9, Genesis 18, verse 9, we'll get back to 21 in a moment. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, now, I'm going to jump that. I'm trying to get somewhere. All right, just note that. Now, quickly, go back to that chapter 21, and let's read verse 1 again. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. The emphasis is on the word again, promise. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Now let's just stop there. Now, back to that 2 Peter. Let's go back to that 2 Peter chapter 3 that I mentioned. I'll read from verse 3. Note this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming. Notice the word promise. For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. And when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Now, please, because of time, I just want to jump to where I want verse 8. It says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, but with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Now let me stop there. What I want actually is verse 9, and I would like to read it again. He said, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Let me explain this. Now you can look up, please. These are the main scriptures I want to read. Now I've explained this before, but let's repeat again for a moment so as to make it clear and tied to what we are talking about today. At the time came God visited Abraham, and he said to Abraham, by this time next year, your wife will conceive and you'll have a son. And this was a promise that was 25 years in fulfillment. That was the 24th year that Abraham had received that word. And I'm explaining again that why did it take God 25 years? Remember, we read here that God is not slow concerning his promise. And I preached a message on it many years ago. It's in our collection. You can look for it. It's titled, God is not slow. In fact, it's one of the messages I enjoy the most, all right? If you want to say, okay, which of the messages you like, that's one of them that I really, really like, all right? God is not slow. And I explained this thing there. Now, you see, God is not slow. He's never slow. He comes at the appropriate time. Life is like a circuit board, you know, like a computer. You understand my point? Like you have, it's like a machine. That's the way it is. And the glory of God always flows through appropriate channels. And the mistake, now this is what sin is. Sin is a disruption in the order of God. Are you getting my point? All right. Maybe you connected, you buy a piece of equipment, a toy, an electrical appliance in the house. They say it uses batteries, AAA batteries. Put them in. They put plus sign here and minus sign here. If you turn it the other way around, all right, therefore putting the plus against where the negative was supposed to be, at the end of the day, what you have done is what the Bible calls sin. That's what they call iniquity. I keep on saying it. Iniquity is not a moral thing. Say, how could you do that? Don't you know? Most of the things people call sin are just the things that other people don't like. It doesn't mean they are wrong. Are you getting my point? For example, now, if you grow up in some of these European countries, children are being taught, deliberately trained to accept perversion as normal. And those guys will come out in one generation and they will see nothing wrong with being a homosexual. In fact, in many European countries, they have achieved it. If you take a poll of young people, ask them, they think it's just an alternative lifestyle. It's the way you like it. Some people like men. Some men like women. Some men like men. And now they've now introduced a thought. You know, madness is an interesting thing. It doesn't come to an end. They are succeeding with that. They now said, before it was just gay and straight. Now it's now gay and transgender. They've added it to it. And they will now put another one now. In fact, I was reading one news the other day that they are campaigning that should accept a third sex. So you don't have to be male or female. You can be something other than the other two. And to you, it's like, how can? It is how can because of training. Are you getting my point? Yes. After a while, people get trained to accept what is abnormal as normal. But this is the interesting part. No matter how well we accept what is abnormal as normal, if it is wrong, it is wrong. Because it's a spiritual circuit that's been disrupted. So power does not flow. As you know now, no PACN does not exist technically anymore in Nigeria. You know that. You now have this, there's this big, strong generating company that decides that they are generating enough power to supply your neighborhood. Then the day you wanted to wire your new house, you go to the market, and you couldn't find them, aluminum cables, those fat aluminum cables. So somebody now sold you yellow nylon cables, not nylon cables. Those are that you see them using to tow vehicles, they used to tie things, those fats. They look like, look at it, they actually are spiral like the one they use for electrical connections. The only difference is that this one is yellow, the other one is, you know, it's aluminum, so it's silvery, or you understand? So they say, okay, we can't, look, we don't have that one. So buy this one, it's even cheaper. Maybe that one is 1,000 naira a meter. This one, look, we'll give it to you for 150. Eh? Yes, now. So you buy plenty of it. In fact, to make assurance double sure, you buy double the length. Then tell the man wiring it to double it. Listen, no matter the amount of power being generated by the generating company, no matter the amount of power that's coming down to that your street, once it gets to your electrical cable, your own form of electricity, that's your own form of electrical cable, it will stop there. Then you get home, you put on the light. What's happening? I paid these people. What is the problem? Then you call the headquarters and say, but the men said they've connected you. I don't see why there should be a problem. And you are there all the time. What? The first day, second day, they now go and call them. No, I want you guys to come and inspect it. Then they come and say, what is this? So that's my own kind of cable. It's a free world. It's a free country. I use the kind of cable I like. You cannot dictate to me. Maybe you like aluminium. Or and you, the other guys like copper. I like nylon. It's a free country. First Amendment, like America, as you say. The freedom of expression, this is how I express myself. The generating company can't fight you, right? Can they fight you? It's your cable, it's your house. But their power can never flow into that home. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much God loves you, there are channels his power does not flow through. Don't be vexed. It's not as if he's angry. He's just saying, I cannot put children in this kind of home. I can't put money in this kind of bank account. It does not make sense. I can't bring breakthrough into this kind of situation. No matter how much I desire it, the word is what is it? Can't. It's not won't. There's a world of difference between won't and can't. It's not like he's angry. That's what I want you to understand. It's not anger. It is, yes, I know you have prayed. I know you have prayed. I know you have fasted. You have generated enough power. But I am sorry. This cable you are using does not work. You know the interesting thing? Many people, number one, let me say something to you. If you are not being taught, if you are not listening to instructions, you are not in a place where people are feeding you with the word of God, you will never know. You can, and you know God is interesting. You can live through life 40, 50, 60 years with that cable connected. You won't have power in that house. You won't have it. You will not have it. All he's saying simply is go and get another cable. Human beings can be stubborn. Now, there are those who go to churches and they love it like that. All they want is a prophet who will come to the house and say, all the enemies that said there will be no power in this house, today they will fall down. Today they will scatter. And every day they are praying, power in this house, power in this house, power in this house. And they are declaring, power, I can feel it, the breaking of the power. It's about to come. Somebody, get ready. I'm telling you, every day people are praying like that. That's why I said before, no matter how encouraged you are, until you are corrected, you will never be blessed. That's why Elihu said one of the most crucial prayers you must pray in life is, that which I see not, teach thou me. Because when you come out every day, you see your cable is there. It's well connected. But that thing does not transmit power. It does not transmit power. It does not transmit power. It does not transmit power. Don't ever forget the thing I said earlier. A Christian's blessing is not dependent on the environment. If you didn't take anything away from what I've said so far, hold that one tight. It's important you understand it so that you stop blaming, pointing fingers at the environment. It's because dollar is now 162. When it was 120, where were you? And ask people who the Lord blessed. Whether it's 160 or 120, it makes no difference to them. Because some of them, when God said, okay, this naira is fluctuating too much, he said, okay, let me supply your money in dollars so that you don't have to think too much. Yes, the Lord can do that. Please bear it in mind. A Christian's blessing, his promotion, is not because of the environment. And the lack of that blessing, the lack of that promotion, also is not because of that environment. It is not. You must always learn to look inwards. And listen, let's read it again. One of the scriptures that really explains this thing very well. Isaiah chapter 40. Very important. Isaiah chapter 40. Let me say this thing again. He said, God is not slow concerning his promises. That is, God is 1 minute. He is not late by 1 minute. As soon as he accomplishes that which he wants to accomplish in this season of your life, you are ready for the next. If there's a delay, it is not with him, it is with you. Are you getting my point? The Bible says God is not slow as some count slowness. One of the ways people, you know, I always say this, people use other people to judge their own timing. It's one of the reasons why some people think God is slow. Yeah, they use other people to judge their own timing. But let's leave that. Even when it comes to your own timing, the reason why God does not manifest at the time that should have been appropriate for you is because he says simply that God is waiting for men to repent. What does it mean to repent? To change their minds, to change their thought patterns, to change their attitudes, to change their ways. And until they do, he can't do what he wants to do. That's why, you know, when I hear people say it all the time, you know, it always makes me laugh. They say God is not fulfilling the promise he made to Israel because of their faithfulness. He's fulfilling it because of his own faithfulness. I said, when did you ever see God deliver Israel without repentance? Read your whole Bible. It's only when it comes to modern day Christianity that God doesn't use that anymore. Deny him. He'll see, gather you together and say, your children under my wings. Slap him in his face. Say, don't worry. I'm a gentle father. I'm slow to anger. God always demands repentance. And repentance, you know, I was saying earlier, that what happens, we were talking about sin. Let me quickly, before I lose track of that. Okay, let's read this and I'll get back to it. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Please notice that very carefully. Verse 3 says, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. How do you do it? Lift up every valley, every mountain and hill, bring them low. As a consequence, the rough ground will become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. He said, then, it's an automatic thing, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now notice it, when God's mouth speaks, his spirit goes out to gather. But the problem is that when his spirit is bringing that which he has gathered, oftentimes there is no way to pass. That's what we are saying. The same thing we are saying. The same thing we are explaining. That's what Isaiah is saying here. So what is God doing in that first phase of life? He's realigning our circuits. He's changing your cables. Sometimes the old cable is so buried inside your system that the chiseling of the, you know, the stuff away can be very painful. But listen to me, until he does it, forget that blessing is not coming, that breakthrough is not coming. It's not coming. Listen, God didn't send you, the problem, you know, people think that human beings triumph by their own energy. No, you can't. You cannot. You cannot. What God does for his children, anywhere he puts you in life, even if God is going to bless you, maybe you're doing a particular business, and that is the place he wants to increase you from. All right, or through. In the early stages, he's not actual. Now, listen to this. It is not that business he's doing. You know, like maybe you're selling cement. In the early stages, God is not really selling cement with you yet. He's teaching you other things beyond the trading of cement. He's teaching you how to go to work on time. He's teaching you how to be diligent. It's teaching you how the proper use of money. It's teaching you how to talk to people. You know, once we had an issue, all right? Many of you know what I'm talking about. A broadcasting station that we were supposed to broadcast a message on. I had to ask the MD. When I walked into his office, I said, let me just talk to him. Let's settle this matter. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that when the man finished talking for the first few minutes, I couldn't believe this man was talking to a client. That does he realize we are paying money? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That does he realize that this is not charity? We didn't walk in here and say, please, sir, we heard that your radio station is very nice. Please, can we put our program on it? You know, we preach very powerful word. God will bless you in return. No. I'm bringing an issue. When I finished speaking that, I told the man simply, straight. I said, know your problem? They did not teach you when you were growing up how to talk to people. Listen to me. Many people doing business, that's what their problem is. One of us came to Enugu. There was someone we went to buy rug from. After talking to him for a while, I said, this shop can never be bigger than this. Nobody said, vex him. By the time he talked to me twice, you understand my point? I just realized that he may be making money now, but the size of this shop has been sealed. If you can talk to a customer who's paying you cash the way you're talking to me, you don't like your business. There are those who brag in bad things. No, me, I know they fear anybody. I can say anything. And God doesn't like who can say anything. A wise man is a man of restraint. It's not everything that comes to his mind that he utters with his mouth. Listen, if you go and read books on networking and doing business, they may tell you the consequences of that. But I don't even like to look at it from that angle. This is simple. There's what the Bible calls righteousness. Anything you are doing that's not the way God says should be done is called unrighteousness. Whether it begets you profit or it doesn't is besides the point. What am I saying? The early stages in life, what is God doing? Is changing people's thought patterns. And that's why I say it again and again. You can never make progress in life as a child of God except you are constantly being instructed. Everything you know now, are you getting my point? It will get you to a particular point and it can't get you beyond that level. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. All the information, now I don't mean head knowledge now, I mean things that have soaked into your heart. Things that have formed your decision-making processes. Things that have affected the way you relate with life. That's what I'm talking about. Everything you have received up till today is pushing you to a particular point and it can't push you beyond that level. Now, you may not yet have attained to that level now, so you will seem to always be making progress. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the time comes you get to that level, you are plateaued. You are not going beyond that. Until new revelation comes into your heart. That is how God energizes his people to move beyond the level they are in to the next level. And I dare to say, and I believe it totally, that was the problem with Job. Do you hear what I said? That was Job's problem. Job was the greatest of all men in the East. I have valued his wealth. He's not as rich as the 1,000th richest man in the world today. I hope you know that. All of you are looking like you don't know what I say. Okay, you did not know. Let me tell you now. Go and put everything Job had together. Put it down together. In today's currency, it's not up to $1 billion. Why are they all looking lost? You've not read the Bible before. You've not bothered to think about it. Go and check it. Go and put everything together. It's not up to $1 billion of today. If you bring all those things he had that time, bring it up to today. In fact, if Job, with the same wealth, that is not the blessing now. I'm talking about the material wealth. The material wealth, not the blessing. There's a difference between the blessing and the material wealth. He had a great blessing. But his material wealth, all right? If you transported him into today, he would not even make it near Forbes' discussion. You know when Forbes is listing the richest men in the world? He won't even make it near it. In fact, I'm talking about the world. He's not as rich as the 20th richest man in Nigeria. You are looking disappointed. Say, Job, who I love so much, how are you bringing him down like this? I'm not going to bring out an issue. But that's the fact. Just go home, do some arithmetic, all right? Do some arithmetic. You see it, all right? He had a vast empire, all right, which is true. And it was the greatest of all the people at that time. Now, for that reason, now I want to draw a parallel. so also was his level of righteousness. His righteousness was also of that level that it was greater than everybody else around. And I am saying, if you brought Job near Jesus Christ, he was an abject sinner. He needs to be baptized by John. John needs to wash him with water to clean him. Yet, this is the point. The man was so sure that he was okay. And because he was better than everybody else, his level of righteousness was the maximum, notice this, that he was aware of. He did not know righteousness existed better than the one he had. He wasn't aware. He was not aware of it. Job was not aware of it. That was why he bragged all the bragging he bragged. His friends also, they were not better than him. So they took him on that level of righteousness and began to discuss. And when they presented that level to him, he said, look, these were his words. I also know what you know. That's what he said to them. I'm not going to bring out an issue here. So his level of righteousness, he produced for him that level, let's take it as a parallel now, of material blessing. His level of understanding. And God said, look at all of them. They think this is the greatest thing that a man can have. They think it's the greatest righteousness possible on this earth. Let's shake Job up a bit for the sake of everybody. When God gave him, now, it's very interesting. When God gave him deeper understanding, after a few months of suffering and all of that, the result of that was instantly doubling of his wealth. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. He could not have attained that amount of material prosperity with the former level of understanding that he had. Once God broke that one, and this is what I'm trying to explain, it now became possible for the world to prosper more. If Job was the height of prosperity, and God didn't break that, till now we'll be riding on camels. I don't know whether you get my point. Because the amount of revelation that comes into the earth is what produces material progress. If Job was the most righteous person on the earth, and he maintained it like that, till now everybody for the camel. You just arrived Bible study. Why are you just coming? My camel was tired. So we stopped somewhere to choose more grass. I'm telling you. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. What am I saying? Listen. You see this one, you're sitting down here every day. All right? I mean, weekly we gather here. But this is not the only time, I believe, all right, that you listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God in your homes. You study your scriptures. I don't mean, you know, there's a religious way of doing things. Have you read your Bible today? Which Psalm? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of... Amen. I've read my Bible for today. I take it. It's like a Muslim praying 5 times a day. Have you said your prayers 5 times? You count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's no righteousness in it. A lot of Christians also reading their Bible regularly is like that. No righteousness in it. It's just a habit. That's why you find that there are people who read regularly, they go and campaign against God the next day. So, no, I'm telling you the truth. They reason against God, but they are very good Christians. You see, many of these are denominations. Now, let me not mention names. They'll be arguing in a church whether it is okay to ordain a homosexual bishop. I thought we should have been arguing whether it's okay to shoot him. We should have been saying, no, there's room for repentance. That's what we should be arguing. You get my point? No, God may not like it, but he didn't say we should murder people. That's what we should be arguing. Not arguing whether it is okay to ordain him a bishop. God is patient, too. If he gave me Godship for 2 minutes, you know what I mean? I'll just end some discussions. I just come down in all my glory. All I say, if anybody discusses this kind of thing here again, why lie? You are in trouble. I'm not saying that it is sin or not sin. That's not even what I'm discussing now. That you people even think is worthy of discussion. I don't know whether I get my point. That you are so depraved, you now think we should discuss it. Anyway, I almost lost track. Let me stop and get back to what I'm saying. So I'm not talking about reading the Bible in such a manner that it doesn't affect you. I'm talking about taking the word of God with seriousness, that you are paying attention, seeking for answers. You are paying attention so that you will be changed. Let me tell you the news, why you are going through all of that. One of the consequences is God is breaking the limit of your life. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Listen, what God is doing is that he's breaking the limit. One of the things that I don't like about Christianity of today, what I see a lot, is this preaching as if God is trying to compete with the rich man next door. God wants to give you a car too. God also wants to, you know, yourself, you can build a house. In this your lifetime, you will build a house. I prophesy to you before you die, you will build a house. If I give you that kind of prophecy, walk out. I said, Pastor Banky, I climbed this number of stairs to come and hear that before I die, I will build a house. I'm aware of that. That is, I don't have to come here. That's why, you know there are some prayers. There's somebody prays for you, say, ah, my son, before you die, you too, you own your own house. You look, say, Oga, either your mind is so small that you think this is a blessing. Are you getting my point? If an old man, you know, go talk, you're saying, you won't know it's not, you didn't say amen. Your one is, say, Oga, how far? This is the only prayer that can come out of your bosom for me. One day I was talking to one guy, he said that, somebody told him that all he wants in this life, why he wants to go to America? He wants to be able to drive a brand new car and own his own house. That one said, don't worry, just work for me. I will make sure it happens for you. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. So, the reason why you want to go to America is so that one day you will drive a brand new car and you will own your own house. Say, that's not a problem. Come and take a job with me. Just give me time. Eventually, I'll buy a car for you, brand new, and give you a house. Say, you'll be happy. Please, I hope you are connecting what I'm saying. Now, listen, I don't like us preaching Christianity as if that's all God wants to do. The point I'm making is that, listen, that cannot be. I want you to understand that. The reason why you climb this number of steps to get here, you go home when everybody else is going for a party, you are there studying the word of God, you are tuning television to hear gospel. Listen, the gospel is a power. What did I call it? What did I call it? What did I call it? The power of God to change things. If it is the power of God to change things, it is not getting you a house and a car that's most important in the things that he's doing. What God is setting you up for is so that you literally become a redeemer. You know what they call a redeemer? A man who puts an end to a problem. You can expand that whichever area of life it applies to you. That is, God is changing you. You know, one of the things, let me just drop this. I've scattered many of the things I want to say today, but let me just keep saying them. One of the things that, when I hear Christians preach, a lot of preachers, and please, I think God wants me to correct some things, so let me not be afraid of the names I may be called. One of the things I notice about Christians that upsets me a bit, a lot of preachers, is the way they make Judaism look like the best thing that God ever did. Yes, you see. If they want to tell you about prosperity, they explain to you how the Jews are the most prosperous people in the world. They want to tell you about scientific advancements. They will show that most Nobel Prizes have been won by Jews, that they are the single, the singular group of people that have the highest Nobel Prizes in science and physics, chemistry, stuff like that. And, you hear those things all the time, and you keep imbibing them unconsciously. Now, many of them are not true. Many of those statements are not true. All right? Some of them are true. Some of them are not true. They are statements made by people who just carry on the fad. You understand my point? Everybody's saying something, you just keep repeating it. Some of the times they are not true. But this is what I don't like about it. All right? Judaism is not the greatest thing that God ever did on this earth. It's not. The greatest thing that God ever did is called Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. And all the promises of God, all right, they are confirmed in him. Now, let's look at it from the positive side. Even if those things, a lot of them are true, like I told you, a lot of them are true. If you look at the side that's even true, you will realize one thing, that it's a remnant, that's this one of Jews are this are that, it's a remnant. Now, notice what I want to say. It's a remnant. It's a remnant of the glory. Because the real glory departed long ago. The Ichabod dead sins, The Bible says Ichabod. Remember that son that was delivered? Is it to Hophni or Phinehas? Which one of them now? Anyway, Ichabod, the glory has departed. If you read your scriptures well, you know that the real glory, it departed long ago. What you are experiencing is the remnant. It's a remnant. It's just a remnant. I mean, Saul was anointed king. The glory of God departed from him after a while. Do you know he still retained that office for a very long time? He still fought battles and won for Israel for a long time until the glory finally dissipated completely and things began to go wrong for him. Now, so imagine it that if the full glory was there, if that Judaism was still there in its full glory, imagine what it would be like if the remnant of glory is producing what you are seeing today. What I don't like I said to you, let me quickly say that before I say the other thing I'm trying to explain, is that preachers don't emphasize this part. They make Christians look up at Judaism as the ultimate. And they start saying things like, if you want to be blessed, you need to link with a Jew. I've heard a preacher I respect so much say it, that if you are starting a business, you have to get a Jew on board so as to bring a blessing into the business. I couldn't believe when I heard it. How can somebody, a child of God, who believes in Christ Jesus, and the Bible says all the promises of God are confirmed in Christ Jesus, start a business and be begging an Ichabod for the remnant of a blessing? It's blindness. It is blindness. And that's the part of it I don't like. But this is a positive side, like I was saying. Look at it, that this is, if this is what the remnant of the glory can produce, it means that the full glory will produce something better. It means that a glory that surpasses that should produce something even better than what the other full glory will have produced. What am I saying? As God is transforming you by his word, he's making you and your descendants into something better, bigger than any Nobel Prize winner has ever discovered. Hey, I pray you will get what I'm going to explain. Listen, you know, because of my training in science, medicine, and all of that, I have a colleague in the office, a well-read man. You know, he and I discuss a lot. We're always discussing. All right? And he and I came to a conclusion. You know cancer? How many of you have ever heard of cancer? You've heard of cancer? Say amen. You won't have it in Jesus' name. You are healed completely from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, but you've heard of it. Because of the kind of work I do, in my department, we diagnose it almost on a daily basis. Once I get to work, I will sign a report that's telling this person has cancer, you know. And this is technically incurable, although they say if you catch it early enough and all those stories. But as a disease, it doesn't have a cure. It doesn't have pneumonia. They give you a few shots of some good antibiotics. The bacteria will run. You understand? Disappear. Stuff like that. It doesn't have that kind of treatment. All right? So my colleague and I will settle down. We'll read a lot about it. You know, in fact, he likes reading such things. So any update in understanding the mechanism of the disease, if he reads it, he'll come and tell me, say, Chief, look, I just got this one. So by the time he and I finish analyzing the whole thing, we came to the same conclusion independently. We said the whole world is running in the wrong direction in the pursuit of the cure for cancer. I've said this before. On this platform, I'm saying it again. I like to go on record. One day you will say I said it. I said the whole world, the whole scientific field is running in the wrong direction in the pursuit for the cure of the cure of cancer. Now, there's one magazine, this is where I went to look for yesterday, the last week's edition of The Economist. The same fellow I'm telling you about, he came to work one day and said, Chief, have you seen this? I said, I haven't. That last week's Economist, that you have to get it, you have to get a copy. It was on where science goes wrong. Now, this is what I'm not remembering from it. It shows something that you've heard me preach before. That when you read all these scientific publications, most of them are lies. You've heard me say it before. Economist published it last week, showing that a vast majority of so-called advances that they make are not reproducible by other people, which means that it's likely it's not true.
a majority. But what I want to bring out is that many people, you know, this man, Nobel Prize for Physics for this year went to a man, what's his name? Higgs, all right? His discovery, the reason they gave him the Nobel Prize was he wrote that thing many, many years ago when he was a young scientist. He's an old man now, all right? But this is the point about it. When he first uttered it, everybody told him to shut up. They were talking nonsense. Many years later, they gave him a Nobel Prize. That viruses can cause cancers. The first man to say it in modern age, his name is Rouse, all right? In fact, there's a cancer virus named after him. They call it Rouse sarcoma virus, all right? Do you know, if that man did not live to be the age of 90, he would never have gotten a Nobel Prize because they don't give to people who have died. Unless the person died after they have awarded, like it happened last year. They awarded the man a Nobel Prize, but before they announced it, he died. So that one, they just retained it and still gave it to him. That was the only person I am aware of in life that they ever got a Nobel Prize posthumously. Now, the point I'm making is this. When the man first published that, they said that thing, no journal agreed to publish it. Nobody agreed to publish it. They said he was talking nonsense. Like 60-something years later, they gave him a Nobel Prize for it. What does that mean? He was right. They were wrong. But the current train of thought was against what he was saying. Therefore, they did not publish him. I think he finally found one backyard journal to agree to put it in print. Many years later, they gave him a Nobel Prize for it. I'm coming to something now. So when you see that the whole world is publishing something right now, and they're all following it, don't let your face be in it. The chances are more than 50% that they are wrong. What am I saying? Some people tell you that, no, before you can do good research, you have to go to Harvard. Before you can do good research, you have to go to Princeton. Before you can go to do good research, you must go to MIT. Before you can do good research, you must go to Harvard. I'm telling you now that God wants you to know that if you go that way to do your research, you will join the bandwagon and produce the same lies men have produced that got them no results. That from your kitchen in Abapa, you can discover something that in 50 years' time, the whole world will turn that kitchen to a pilgrimage site. The house that Apple started from, the garage that Steve Jobs and co. Now people are bidding to buy the house. It was sold last week. I've forgotten the amount of money. It's not a tourist. You know, it's a national heritage site. You know, you have a UNESCO heritage site. Steve Jobs' house now is not a national heritage site. People now, no children will not take excursion to go there. There was one young boy who dropped out of university. His name was Steve Jobs. I had a friend called Wozniak. What's Wozniak's first name? Also Steve. Okay, the two Stevies who used to be here. So what I'm trying to say is that your blessing is not dependent on the environment. Your laboratory in Esut, in UNEC, in UNN, people may look at it and tell you that it is not like, if you go down to Harvard, you see the kind of labs they are using. I'm telling you from there, you will redirect their thoughts concerning cancer. It might take 25 years. It might take 40 years. It might take 50 years. Then one day they will queue up and give them that Nobel Prize. The mistake people make, they think that what has been produced is the only thing that can be produced. They don't realize that everybody has produced. In fact, there's a journal we have in my office. Some people are giving to us. They call it the book Modern Pathology. It's a monthly journal also. When I open it like this, after reading two articles, I get a headache. I drop it. After some time, I stop reading it. So one day my friend came from UK, Dr. Ibukwe. Look at it, he said, what are people doing with this? I said, they gave it to us free. I don't read it. He said, even me, I can't read it. And he practices in the UK. That is, the information inside there is so congested. But this is the point. With the same train of thoughts. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Everybody is thinking in the same direction. Everybody. Everybody is thinking in the same direction. It needs somebody with a new understanding, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be able to challenge the popular train of thoughts and bring out something new for this earth to see. And don't think that person will be bred in the labs in Harvard. I am telling you, this word that is entering your heart every day, what it is doing is building you up to a level where you can cook that thing up in the kitchen using herbs. Are you getting the point I'm making? The same thing applies for economic principles. The other day, I think it was last year. No, earlier on, just a few months ago. There was a major economic rule that governments in the world used to plan economy of nations. IMF uses it to decide who gets loan, who doesn't get loan. The World Bank uses it. They use it to give advice to nations on what to do and what not to do. A few months ago, a young man picked the same publication and said it was an error. And the two professors that wrote the publications are professors, I think both of them are in the MIT. You know what's MIT? Massachusetts Institute of Technology. One of the top institutions in the world. The two professors are alive and they are well. They are professors in the top institution, one of the top institutions in the world. But a young man in UK picked their results, read through it, and showed the whole world that it was an error. Meanwhile, the whole world has been building economic policies on them. The whole world. Saying that if your GDP crosses this particular part of your national debt and all of that, you can no longer grow. The young man showed that they used a computer program, fed their data in wrongly. It produced a wrong result, was published in one of the top journals in the world, but at the end of the day, the whole world was following them like this into error. The whole world following two men who made a mistake in calculation. This is the funny part. Most of the times, anybody says differently, they refuse to publish. That you are going against the main men of today. Something was wrong with what you are saying. I'm saying all of this to encourage your heart. To let you know that where people think that the answer is coming from, the answer is not coming from there. The answer is coming from you. Wherever you are, economic ideas that we suddenly, because you see, there are times I sit down and watch TV, you understand? I just watch photographs of Africa. The Lord is good. One day my brother-in-law drove me to a slum in the U.S. from years ago. He said he was going to take me to the slum area of Houston. I said, no, well, let's go. Let's just go sightseeing. So finally we got somewhere and he stopped. He said, nah, here. I was looking for the slum. I said, the Lord is good. I'm going somewhere. So, you know, you watch TV, all right? They show you the poor villages in Europe. And you're looking for the poverty. I don't know whether you get my point. The roads don't have potholes. This is poor. It's poor. There's nothing on the road. There's no refuse on the road. Nothing. And this is a poor village. Then I'll show you Africa, Bobo. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Once they show you what is Africa, it's easy to identify the area that is poor. You just see it. Even the area that is good self. They say these are the rich man area. You see the gutter is open. Are you getting my point? You see all kinds of things. And now, this is what I'm talking about. I now look and say, why? It's not because of what they call poverty. I've examined it enough. It's not because of what people call poverty. Because as long as the sun is shining and rain is falling and men are healthy, there's no natural reason for poverty. The only reason why there should be poverty is there's famine. And by famine, like no rain for like 2-3 years straight, all right? Or the sun decides not to shine for like 2 years consecutively, or there's war, there's natural disaster, a terrible one, maybe earthquake, tsunami, all of them combined with volcanic eruption. If these things are not happening, there is no excuse for poverty. There's none. That is naturally speaking. There's none. The reason why there is poverty is spiritual. It's man's inability to use the resources around him. That is the only reason. Listen to me, there's no second reason. is a spiritual, that's what the Bible calls a curse. When God curses people, when he places a curse upon people, he removes the ability, the wisdom with which they will have used, all right, the wisdom with which they will have deployed the resources around them for their own good. God removes it. So you see, in Liberia those days, they will tell you that there was malnutrition and poverty, and the children are walking under trees with bananas almost falling on their heads. Why? Because there's a culture in that particular area that says bananas are spiritual poisons. I don't know what I get my point. So you see malnourished people in the midst of abundance of fruit. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Now that's very glaring. But I look at Nigeria today again, and there is no reason on earth, naturally speaking, talking within the natural spheres now, why every inch of this country should not be as fine as the whole of the United States. There's no reason. But there are some economic principles that are in place. It's the result of a curse. Therefore, as big as the country is, having half of the population of the United States of America, they have a national budget that's competing with fire service of New York. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You ask them why. It's a spiritual reason. That's what I'm going to explain. Now, listen to where I'm going. The thing that will break it, listen, I pray you get what I'm trying to explain. What will break it is when you, sitting down listening to me, God suddenly gives insight to you. You will suddenly have an ability to deploy political and economic power in a new way. So that in a few years, you know, so richest countries in the world, they are counting Nigeria. Because, no, listen, think about it. There's no reason. What on earth does Japan have? Small island and fish. Yet, I don't know about now, those were the second largest economy in the world. Maybe now they're like number three or number four because China has overtaken them. Why? I have reasoned about it. It's a spiritual thing. And even when IMF and World Bank wants to write, the spiritual force that's trying to keep some people poor will still make them write lies. They will give you your GDP, and the GDP they quote is always less than half of the truth. No, I'm not joking about that. The GDP quoted is less than half of the truth. Because they are unable to quantify the amount of yam produced in the villages. And that's part of GDP. They are unable to quantify the amount of roasted corn that men eat every day. They are unable to. What will break that thing? The only thing that can break it is when God brings new insight into your heart. Then you, say me, you listening to me, we suddenly have ideas, economic ideas, political ideas to harness the resources. And that's when you look at World Bank and IMF and say, you guys don't know what you are saying. Watch us. And in a few years, we will wonder what is going on. Then after some years, they announce a Nobel Prize winner for economics. And they mention your name. And let me tell you, by the time they want to mention that name, the person that will be mentioned will have no university degree from outside Nigeria. You say amen. You don't say it too. What I've told you is the truth. And the reason is because there are times God wants to change people's ideas. So he says, my glory I will give to no other. So if the man goes to Harvard, God says, no, I can't use that fellow. He has gone to Harvard. They polluted his mind, number one. And number two, when he comes out, they will say it is because he went to Harvard. Harvard will add it to their list of the Ichabodic glory that they have. So God says, no. If he travels, he has gone to Princeton. God says, I can't use him. He's a good man. I will bless him. The children will be great. But the economic idea I'm trying to bring forth, I can't use him. That it is crucial that this boy is born of a virgin. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yes, he must never have had any interaction with those places. And when God wants to do it further, he will show that the boy refused to pass in school because he was always disagreeing with people. So the guy said, Lila, we know you are bright, but you can't get the first class. Not here. They will remember. Why? Because since the Holy Spirit began to birth things in him, things were not making sense anymore. Common ideas are not making sense. And listen to me, all these we are talking about, you can't work for them. You can only qualify for them. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Listen, that's what God is doing. He's pumping words into you. Business, that's what we are talking about. You think you are going to go the way of Bill Gates and then go to become a billionaire? No, that is old school. What did I call it? Old school. Old school. Old school. Old school. You hear what I said? Old school. That road has been traveled too many times. He said, behold, I do a new thing. Listen, if you believe this is what I'm saying, if you believe this thing that I've said today, the glory of God will be manifested in your life.
Amen.
Listen, you are supposed to die. But the reason why you can't die is because you must manifest some things.
Amen.
You know, there are some curses that they say, I bind this curse. God said, don't even worry about the curse. The curse is too weak to inactivate the thing I want to do. Oh, I don't know what I get my point. The reason why God will keep you alive because glory must be shown in your life.
Amen.
I hope you've understood me today.
Yes,
I hope what I've said is clear to you.
Yes,
listen, God is building you up. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to first build you up and then number two, give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Listen, there's an inheritance that's coming your way.
Amen.
You hear what I said? And right now what you are doing is that you are taking roots downward. A day will come when you begin to bear this glorious fruit upward. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Father, you have to just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.